Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today, and I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we've got a great show planned for you today. Did you know that conflict in marriage can be a doorway to intimacy? That's what my friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley say, and they're joining me today to give a fresh spin on conflict in marriage and what to do about it. I want to just tell you about them right away, and we can jump into the conversation. Both Dr. Greg and Aaron serve in leadership roles that focus on the family. Aaron serves as their strategic spokesperson for marriage ministries, and Greg serves as the vice president for family ministries. We are so honored to have them with us today. They're two of my favorite people on the planet, and this is the one time I'll have you talk at the same time. Welcome, my friends.
Well, thank you for, I almost said welcome to you as well. I don't know why.
We're glad to have you.
Yay!
Thank you for joining us on your show.
I'm so glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
We always love doing this with you. That we feel like we've been friends for so long that, I don't often think about what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Well, we have been friends for a long time. It's not true. That we feel like we've been friends.
Whenever I think of our conversations, I picture myself on your deck and little Annie bopping around to the music, that's just the context, just doing family life with you guys out on your deck.
Little Annie is now 12.
Yes, she's not so little.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, it's such an honor to have you guys with today. And I was telling Greg before the show, I dug a little bit into your book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, and just remembered afresh how stinking good it is. And I know we're going to be talking out of a passage from Scripture on managing conflict, but I pulled some quotes out of there that I want you to speak to as well. But let's just start here. How about a verse? Aaron, if you don't mind, do you have a verse on your heart you can share with us?
I have a big verse on my heart. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. There's just so many meanings to that today in my life and the client I met with this morning and a meeting I just came out of, just to recognize that the enemy wants us to be divided and disunified. But if we hand this stuff over to him, we get the power within us, his power within us, and he is able to do way more than we are ever capable of. And he's going to do more than we could ever even imagine.
Beautiful. Boy, I needed that from my own heart today, Aaron. Thank you. How about you, Greg?
Yeah. In James 1, verse 2, I love this verse. It says that when trials come your way, so when hardships, when conflicts, when difficult situations come your way, consider that to be an opportunity. In other words, as we go through hard things, conflict can definitely be one of those hard things. There's always opportunity. And we get to learn something maybe about our own self. Maybe there's an issue that we've been blinded to, didn't know. Or maybe with the other person, there's something going on with them. Or maybe it's a relationship issue. There's always opportunity if we face our trials, if we face our conflict, which is really what we want to talk about. How do we face these difficult times in a way that we do on the other side of that actually feel more connected, feel deeper within our relationship?
Boy, that's such a good point. So rarely do we, when we're in conflict, think about how do I want to feel about this on the other side? You know, sometimes we're going in it to win it for ourselves, and yet, as you always say, a win for you may be a loss for the team. So let's back up a little bit here and talk about, you guys were reading a passage in 2 Chronicles, and you kind of had a light bulb moment. Greg, I'll start, let you unpack that passage, and then we'll just take it step by step.
One of my very favorite stories about my parents, they were married 52 years before my dad went to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, my father, a guy named Gary Smalley, had this amazing marriage ministry. My parents ministered together, and yet they what I love to see from time to time is them in a big conflict, in a big fight, because it just made me feel normal. If the big marriage experts can experience hard times, okay, there's hope for all of us. In one of my favorites was when we were all, as a staff, when we all worked together many years ago over in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. We went to Hawaii, the whole staff. We were all so excited. This one guy was going to propose to his fiance or to his girlfriend and hope that she would say yes to marriage. And I remember his dad saying to his mom, hey, I want to get up and dream every single morning while we're here. And his mom immediately said, no way, Gary, we're on vacation. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to do it this way. Well, apparently it didn't go that way.
Yeah, I think my dad gets up real early and tries to wake my mom up. And, hey, you want to go outside on the balcony and we can talk about our marriage and set some goals and kind of dream about what we're going to do together. And she's like, no, leave me alone. It's vacation. So he would go out in the balcony, would come back in. Are you sure you're not up? Because this would, we could really have a great conversation. Lee, stop talking to me. I'll wake up if you don't quit bothering me. So then he did, I think, the unthinkable.
The unthinkable. He went into the room, pulled the sheets off of her, and pulled her by the feet out of the bed.
And he didn't know how that was going to go.
Yeah, he somehow, some way thought that was going to go well for him.
So needless to say, they're in this huge fight. They're in this big argument, totally disconnected. We met up with everybody later on at an ice cream shop, big crowded ice cream shop, when this guy on our staff showed up with now his fiance. And so he kind of announced to everybody, hey, I just asked her to marry me. She said yes. So everybody in the ice cream parlor started clapping and applauding. My dad yells out, you know, free ice cream for everybody. So all of a sudden the ice cream lady, so the person, you know, doling out the ice cream goes, hey, congratulations, you guys, that is fantastic. She goes, could I give you some marriage advice? Which I thought was funny because here we are with Gary Smalley, like the world's foremost marriage expert, and the ice cream lady wants to tell him how to have a good marriage. And so she says, yeah, my husband and I, we've been married like 30 years, and we went through a really, really tough season, and I wasn't sure if we were going to make it, but one time we were watching TV, and this guy shows up on TV talking about these marriage videos that he'd created.
Really?
We bought them, and she goes, it's a guy named Gary Smalley. And so all of us are looking at my dad like, seriously? And he's going, I don't know this lady. She starts going on and on about this guy, Gary Smalley. I saved her marriage. And, well, at the same time, she's saying all this. My mom is just glaring at my dad because she's still so mad at him. And so I said to the ice cream lady, hey, that guy right here, I'm standing next to him, this is Gary Smalley. So she screams and runs around the counter, gives him this big hug, goes on and on about what he did for their marriage and the, you know, saying to this young couple, you've got to get these videos. They're the best things ever. So as they continue to talk, I'm watching my mom. And again, she's totally glaring. She scoots up next to him, kind of pulls him off to the side, and then whispers into his ear, hey, you need to order those videos.
That's what I love about her. She's got a wicked sense of humor.
Exactly. And she keeps him on his toes. Wow.
And it's true, though, because conflict is inevitable. All of us are going to face conflict. Those kinds of situations are going to happen within our marriage. The question is, when we experience those, and this might be with a colleague at work. This could be with a good friend. This could be with a sibling, you know, a child. But when we experience conflict, how do we handle that in a way that actually not just works, but actually deepens the relationship, the connection.
Mm-hmm. And I have to throw in there, of course, my new favorite verse, that those who marry will face many troubles. So as you talk about,
that's
yes,
1 Corinthians 7:28.
Yes, that you will face challenges with your friends. You will face challenges with, you know, your kids. But it's written in scripture that if you're married, you're going to face troubles within life. But what I love is that God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that traveling through those troubles with someone else, with that support, in just how he designed marriage to represent, you know, Christ in the church, that you have somebody, a journeying buddy, to walk with you through those troubles. So just considering the conflict between the two of you, an opportunity to grow your relationship closer so you can travel life through the ups and the downs, the journeys, the trials that are going to come in a way that's more effective. And Jesus knew that. I love that.
I love that as well. We'll be taking a break in a moment, but I want to just have you address this. I've heard you say this in the past. When you hear a couple say, "We never fight," you see that as a major red flag. I'd love for both of you to speak to it. Erin, how about you first?
Yeah, you know what? I have couples come in for counseling regularly, and typically when they say we don't fight, what they're doing is stonewalling off and isolating off, and it's very, very quiet. Because I'll say, well, then if you're not fighting, is it pretty quiet? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'll even say, what's the problem? And they'll say, the silence. But with the silence comes distance and disconnection. And so, yes, fighting. When a couple walks in and they are, you know, fighting and they've got energy around it and emotion, well, they're connecting. They care. It scares me a little bit when it's silent because I'm not quite sure where are their hearts at. But it's an opportunity to explore. And I have seen couples who it's very, very silent come to a very different place. And it's just so encouraging that as they begin to be honest about what's going on inside and they communicate about it with each other and maybe even sometimes get into some really, really heated, hard conversations, they find that that's an opportunity to connect.
Greg, I've also seen when they say they don't fight, I've seen marriages turn on a dime and end, and like blindsiding one because somebody's storing up something that they're not saying, right?
Well, it can happen that way. I mean, some couples, you know, don't fight because they've learned how to kind of navigate through their differences in a way that's pretty agreeable. I mean, they may not be in a big battle, may not be in big conflict. I think for some, Susie, to your point, it's over time that they have felt so frustrated walking through conflict that their heart begins to shut down. And over time, that heart hardens. And I think once a heart is hardened, that's apathy. It shows up as, you know, whatever, who cares? So they stop trying to work out their differences. And as Erin was just saying, when we stop trying to work through our differences, loneliness sets in. And loneliness is probably of all the emotions, challenging emotions to feel in a marriage, I would put that one right at the top. Because that is so different than how marriage is supposed to feel. I mean, I didn't stand up at the altar thinking, oh, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with Erin feeling lonely. I can't wait to feel isolated and distant.
Nor did I stand up at the altar because I think sometimes this is what Greg thinks, that I'm getting married so we can wake up one morning and have a great big fight and then do it maybe once a week. Can we schedule it maybe? Because he believes I love conflict. I don't.
I don't know if I believe it. I've suspected that was true. I've wondered.
Just because she's like, good at it.
Just being curious.
I don't dream about conflict. What can I bring up tomorrow?
Well, in Erin's defense, I will tell you, and probably in most marriages, that there's probably one person that's usually better at pursuing to bring up issues. And you know, something happens, and I tend just to shut down and sweep it under the carpet, whatever. But in Erin's defense, she's been the one in our marriage that has brought things up when they need to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so that
you gotta have that.
Sadly,
person.
That burden has probably fallen to her. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying look at me. I'm saying that's not the right way to do it. But I'm grateful that Erin has been the one to bring these things forward.
And it's
all right,
always
we're gonna
amazing.
Pause here. Oh, sorry. We got to get to a break here. But when we come back, I want you to hold that thought because I want you to share it, Erin. That was interesting, too, as we go to break here. Greg, you're talking about there is a point when you get skilled at your relationship where it's not always marked by conflict. So you could probably come to a place where, for the most part, you're not fighting all the time because you found a way, as you say, to navigate. That really is an important point for sure. Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley today about conflict and how it really can be the doorway to intimacy. I'm also going to draw a little bit from their book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. It's fantastic. Go ahead and text or email if you got questions, comments. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Back in a minute. Nobody sings a love song like Stephen Curtis Chapman. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. We're talking about managing conflict, healthy conflict. Aaron, you were about to say something before the break as we were talking about couples that never fight and couples, and Greg was even talking about how oftentimes there's the one person who goes after it, not because they love conflict, but because something is not settled and we need peace. Go ahead if you would.
What's amazing to me is there's this dance that couples do between each other, and one is pursuing and one is distancing, but how quickly that can change. When the pursuer stops pursuing, the other one will step in and start pursuing. So it's this very interesting dynamic and dance that goes on between a couple of pursuer-distancer. And so what I know to be true is when I step out, like I am not, for whatever reason, pursuing Greg, suddenly he'll step in and start pursuing me. And so it's amazing to me to watch this between couples. It's just this really cool dynamic that I believe God put in us, that desire to be connected, that we so long for that connection, that it's in each of us. And we do all kinds of crazy things to try to numb that out. But the truth is, it's amazing to me that we will always be pursuing that at some level.
Wow, that's good. Okay, Greg, let's hop into 2 Chronicles 20. You said you were reading it and you just sort of had a revelation of kind of battle strategy for conflict.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So 2 Chronicles 20 is about the tribe of Judah, who's the king is Jehoshaphat, and they're being attacked by several different armies at the same time. And so what's so interesting is this passage starts with such an amazing reminder that is so helpful around conflict. And it says, this is what the Lord says to you. So this is being directed to King Jehoshaphat. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. And Susie, that is such a great reminder. When we go through conflict, especially within a marriage, we have to understand that there's always going to be a spiritual battle going on at the same time. Satan hates everything that God has made, including marriage, especially marriage, that he is always attacking our unity and our oneness, and he wants us in these power struggles. He wants Aaron and I as adversaries. And Aaron is never my enemy. And yet sometimes when we're in conflict and we square off against each other, it feels that way. It's divisive. Now all of a sudden it's me against her. Or just based on our own hurts and our own perspectives, all of a sudden we go from being this united one to all of a sudden now we're against each other. And that's the mark of the enemy. Mm. And what I love about that is that if first and foremost, if we can step back and say, you know what, actually, this battle, this is not ours. This is God's. I think what happens is that it helps me instantly to go, oh, yeah, that's right. Aaron isn't my enemy. She's my teammate. She's my journeying partner. She's my wife. And it's a reset for me. And I love how that passage begins that way. That how would conflict maybe go differently from the beginning if we were able to sort of say that the battle is not mine, it's God's.
And recognizing that if the battle is truly his, then he's going to give us everything we need to battle. And it's especially in our marriage that as we're turning towards him and submitting our hearts to him, even when we don't feel like it, like there's times where I'm so mad. I know it's surprising that Greg will show up and hurt my feelings so deeply.
Sorry.
And
Sorry.
Be offensive.
Yeah, thank you, Susie.
And, you know, sometimes Greg acts in offensive ways.
So. I know it's hard to believe. Everybody's shaking their head going, that's not even believable, Aaron.
You never know what you're going to get on Middays. Shocker here.
Yeah. But it's just good when I step back. Yeah. And go to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm not in this alone, that you're here yeah. with me and you're calling me to come to you. And then once I care for my heart and you minister to my heart, I'm called to go to my husband and work this out and in your strength. And again, back to my verse that I shared at the beginning, that he's going to do immeasurably more than all I even ask him in that moment. He's going to blow me away with what Amen. We're going to learn through this conflict. So it's an opportunity that we have.
How do we do this where we stay as much as we can in the bigger story? Because when you're in the heat of the argument, you get very much narrowed down to your small story. But when you think heaven is contending for you, hell is contending for you, that's how important your soul is. That's how important your marriage is. There literally is a bigger story battle going on overhead. I mean, imagine what that could do if we could condition our thought life on a regular basis to go, you know, my marriage has, you know, huge implications. It's not just about us. It's not about me versus him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, say a word, Greg, and then Aaron, if you'd like, about, we've got 2 minutes to our hard break at the bottom so we can have you pick it up on the other side. But I would imagine that would help us so much to go, as you said, this is a spiritual battle, and our marriage is actually part of a much bigger story.
It is. And Susie, you've so many times talked about muscle memory. Mm-hmm. As a fitness guru, you, not me, but you have talked about that, just the training, the repetition, that muscle memory, that if I continue, if the first thing that comes to my mind during conflict is, you know what, whoa, that's true. Okay, wait, the battle is not mine, it's God's. Because I love in this passage from 2 Chronicles 20, it says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, go out and face them tomorrow. So face the conflict, the Lord will be with you. And if we, through muscle memory, can just, if that's our natural posture, going, I'm not going to square off against Aaron as my enemy, she's my teammate, there's something here we need to work through, so I'm gonna face this conflict. But knowing that God is with us, what that does is that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. This is a God of unity. This is a God who brought us together, who created marriage, gave that gift to us. I mean, if that was our muscle memory to default by saying, first and foremost, hey, God is in this. So let's figure this out. We can do this. That usually opens hearts right then and there. It doesn't solve anything, and it hasn't cleared up whatever we need to face and deal with, but it just it's laid a foundation that we can win if that's where we go first, is that this battle is God's.
And we have to pause here for our break, so Aaron, I want you to jump on that on the other side, but I love what you're saying, because right here, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. That's two things. And then go up and face it. I'm wondering how often couples don't face it. They avoid, they get busy, they do other things, and it doesn't go away. It festers under the surface. So that, yes, might be a word for you today listening, is you've been avoiding, and God's saying, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Gather your courage and face off with that enemy together with your spouse and face it. We're going to talk more with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley in just a moment. Text and email your comments and questions. We welcome them. We love them. 877-933-2484. Back in a minute.
Care of you, don't be sad, don't be blue.
Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, and right now I'm picturing Greg and Aaron in the studio dancing to this music. I bet you guys are, right?
We're not done, so we're still dancing.
Sorry.
So could we take a longer break?
Is this a good
break?
Time? Yeah. I've got Aaron and Greg Smalley on the show today from Focus on the Family. We're talking about managing conflict. I knew I would totally set you up, and I just thought, is this going to be a good thing or not such a good thing? Oh, anyway, so good to have you. We're talking about conflict, and as I said, I dug into your book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. Just got to put this in here. You said, it's important to remember that buttons don't typically follow a logical path. If they did, they'd rarely get triggered. And Aaron, talk a bit about that as we dig more into this Second Chronicles passage, because you're inviting people to the battlefield saying the battle is not against each other, and the battle is the Lord's, so have courage. But say a word, if you would, about these buttons that don't have kind of a logical path.
Yeah, they don't have a logical path. They are these tender spots that when the buttons get pushed, we go immediately into reaction mode. But the key is that our heart closes in between there. And when our heart closes, all bets are off. We just show up in very automatic ways. What comes naturally is not going to be helpful relationally. So it's recognizing when my heart's closed, it's my job. But the great news is we have God on our side coming with us to help minister to our heart, to get our heart back open. we were talking about before the break about couples that they just keep sweeping this stuff under the rug. So how you react, what's really going on underneath every single conflict, buttons are getting pushed. But yet couples, so often I'll say, so you had a fight. Yes. Well, how'd you guys talk about it afterward? Well, we didn't. We never do. I hear that so often, every single day. It is not even funny. And I say, oh, well, great. Then we can talk about it here. Mm-hmm. Isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm. And because it is an opportunity to learn so much and to tweak as we understand what in the world went on.
Mm, boy, just let that in, Greg. What are you thinking? Are you just impressed with your wife's smarts?
I am.
Do you want to kiss her like right now?
Can we go to another break really fast?
No, such good stuff, though. Go ahead.
I was just going to say. I mean that as a conflict avoider, that's my tendency is that I will sweep this under the rug.
Actually Greg who was sitting on my couch.
Yeah, exactly.
In my office. Oh. I say, how did you talk about that after you had a disagreement with your wife? And he'll say, well, we didn't. And I'll say, well, let's do it right now.
Well, which is what I love looking at that Second Chronicles 20 passage is that is what Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, then stepped up as the leader. It only takes one person to break the cycle, the crazy cycle of conflict. It just takes one person to go, you know what, I refuse to do it this way. And I love what he did is he brought all the people together and he's telling them, hey, we can do this. He goes, you know, let's have faith in the Lord. God is with us, and we're going to have success. So it takes one of us to step up as leader. But what I love is that he's reestablishing unity, and he's bringing all the people together. He's consulting with the people because, you know, in conflict, you know, where it says in Matthew, a house divided will fall. I mean, that's part of the problem is that the conflict is so divisive, especially if we're not dealing with it. But Jehoshaphat goes, no. Hey, we're all going to come together. We're going to deal with this. We're one. We're united. And then what's so cool is that he tells the people, okay, we're going to head towards this conflict, but we're going to do this differently. I'm going to send a group ahead of us who are going to be singing. And that's not probably a typical military strategy is when you're going into battle, go ahead and put a group of people singing out in front. But I love that they were singing, let's give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. They knew that God was behind them, that God was at, this was his battle, not theirs. But what's cool about singing is that singing is an open-hearted activity. Like, your heart has to be open to be able to sing. I know it was a couple of weeks ago, we were on our way to church, and this probably only happens to us. I'm sure no one ever feels this way, but the kids start arguing. They're fighting and bickering. We're trying to referee. I got super frustrated with my children that by the time I actually made it into church, you know, everybody's singing, and I just stood there with my arms folded. Because my heart was totally shut down. I didn't want to sing.
And if I remember that day correctly, I think I had also pushed some buttons as well. So you were also upset with me. Well, and
I wasn't going to throw you under the proverbial bus here.
So we were in church and I kept trying to rub his back and like rub his arm and touch him and no response.
Because my heart was shut down.
His heart was totally shut down. And the truth is so often in church, you know, all these things will go on before you get to church and then worship begins. And it's always amazing to me as I just sit, even if I'm just going through the motions of singing, by the time we're done, how open my heart is and how open I am then to receive. And the same thing is true within our marriage with conflict, that when we take the time to step back and let God do what he does, I don't know how he does it, how his Holy Spirit just ministers to our heart and just very lovingly and gently gets our heart back open, that we can come back to our spouse and have a very, very different conversation, open-hearted, because closed-hearted is just not going to go well. It's going to be more and more of that repeated muscle memory, that crazy dance that drives us all insane. We all have it, but yet we go back to it because that's what we know. And it's just recognizing that dance, that's the enemy. That cycle, that's the enemy. And like Greg said earlier, our spouse isn't the enemy. And recognizing we can do this differently.
So, Greg, what did it take for you to get your heart back open again?
I wanted to joke and say, you know, Aaron apologizing, which is a lot of times what we do. We allow our heart to stay closed, hoping that our spouse will do something, will apologize, or will make some gesture that we finally open up. And it's really encountering the Lord in those moments. When my heart is shut down, that's my responsibility. I'm not saying that Aaron didn't play a part. I'm not saying that we didn't have to work through something, but my heart being shut down is my responsibility. And standing there singing
or not singing,
it gave me some alone.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, it gave me some alone time just to begin to go to the Lord, begin to pray. All of a sudden I started mouthing the words slowly. Then I started singing a little bit, and all of a sudden, between me and the Lord, I got to a place where my heart was back open. And that's what sets the stage for us being able to manage conflict, which I'm saying it. That's what's so interesting about the Second Chronicles 20 passage is that before now, so because they haven't even gotten to the battle yet. And here they've come together. They're united. They know that God is leading. And their job was to get their hearts back open. Now they're singing. So they're open hearted, which is those are the two things, or the three things. Let God lead, be united, and get your heart back open. Now they were ready. God knew they were ready to encounter then the conflict that they needed to go through.
I just love the example you guys gave of going to church, because that is such a typical thing when you got kids and, you know, the stuff that happens before and people who want to put on a facade, but then you're entering into a corporate worship session. And if you really enter with your heart, the walls really, really will come down. And I'm thinking of a scenario where when you talk, Aaron, about when the heart is closed, you actually do more harm than good to trying to force an outcome under such circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm picturing a spouse walking away because their heart is shut down, the other person forcing it, going, we're going to talk about this right now, but it really isn't a good time. That's one scenario. And then there's another scenario of someone who's walking away, building a wall, not for the purpose of getting their heart open, but to punish. So I guess mm-hmm. I want you to speak to both those, because it takes a lot of humility and I think relationship skill to say, okay, I'm not abandoning you, but I'm so for us that I got to get to that place. So
yes.
I'm postponing this. So Aaron, speak to it. And then Greg, I'd love for you to follow up as well.
Yeah, well, even back to that day in church, I was rubbing Greg's back because I wasn't quite sure where he was at. I was kind of testing. Usually it's him testing me, but I was testing him. And just what I've learned to do, because the discomfort of the disconnection is so enormous for me. And as human beings, what we do when we bump up against that closed heart or that wall, that we try to bash through it and we want to connect, well, that makes the person feel even more closed because they don't want to interact. So I've learned to just go, okay, Greg's closed right now, and that's painful for me, but it's going to be okay. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to wait and I'll check in with them, but I'm open. So the battle then becomes not closing your heart in response to that, just letting that.
Because Satan will attack because he's now filling Aaron's mind with, see, your lousy husband does this every time. He doesn't care. He's always just going to shut down. He doesn't want to connect.
Is that what he does to you? Because that's not what happens for me. I'm like, that's super intriguing. You know, I'm over there going, poor Greg. I wonder what happened. I wonder why he's so shut down. So, yeah, it's very different what goes on
but
in
he
my
does.
Mind
the
versus
point
yours.
Is the enemy is looking for an opening, and
right.
if he
yes.
finds it, he will take it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's just recognizing when you've each committed to this journey, and I would say the majority of people don't know what to do when this happened. When this happens, I didn't. I thought it was Greg's job to get my heart back open, but of course that never went well. But recognizing between God and me, we've got this, and He's going to get my heart back open so I can show up with in genuineness who I really am, my character, and how he created me in his image, so I can share whatever hurt me and shut my heart down with my spouse. But it's not my spouse's job to get my heart back open. It's mine. Hmm. And it's owning that. I don't have to do that alone. I get to do that with God.
So what do you say, Greg? I want you to give some encouragement, maybe to the guy listening today who is the conflict avoider, but it puts the wall up. Boundaries are, that was revolutionary, that book, Boundaries. I just talked to Townsend on the show the other day. And yet some misuse boundaries to block people off, and it's so painful, and they know it. There's no promise that I'm going to build a bridge to you. I'm just sort of punishing you right now. Talk to the person maybe for whom that's just true, where they need to learn how to build a bridge, even in the midst of, if they're hurt, saying, we're coming back around. This is just a process I need to go through.
Yeah, for me, as the poster boy for a conflict avoiding, it's just really recognizing that there's going to be something that good that comes from this. And it's scary, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable. Maybe history has been that this won't work out that well, which is why I want to lead out by acknowledging that God, you got to fight this battle. And while he's fighting that battle, my job is just to get my heart back open. And so what I've learned to do, so let's get real super practical. How do you get your heart back open in those moments? Like as I was standing at church with a very closed heart, I the only way that I know to do this is to actually go to the Lord and just spend some time and usually when I'm shut down, that my conversation with God is really strange and awkward. It doesn't feel right. I'm usually complaining in my mind, like, way to go, way to create her in such a different way than me, that look what she did and you made her, so you're really responsible for what she's doing. I mean, there's just an awkwardness, and who cares? So just turn to the Lord. There's times where I turn to the Lord and I'm just silent. I'm like, I don't even want to talk to you. And it's okay. And yet what I've noticed is that moment by moment, there's just a way that as God is pursuing me always, that I'm just re-engaging him. In the moment that I finally truly humble myself, re-engage him, that and just allow him just to start to minister to me, that my heart just begins to open. I'm just reminded that he really is in control, and he's a God of unity. So I trust him. I know that this is going to work out, and I trust Aaron. That I know that we're going to get through this. I think one of the best things that God has taught me about conflict is grace, which is God's free gift to us. We didn't deserve for Christ to be put to death. That was God's free gift to us. Grace in marriage, one way that can show up is when I choose to see Erin for who she's been over 27 years versus how she's showing up in that moment. So it'd be easy to think about whatever she did in the car. If I focus on that, I'm going to stay shut down. But if I'm willing to go, what's really true about her? 27 years, is that who she's been? No. And that often, that's a part of how I get my heart back open, is just grace is seeing her for who she's really been. That's what's true about her versus however she's showing up in that moment.
Wow, good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to address the 2 points in your notes. While God combats the spiritual warfare, you engage in healthy conflict, and then you collect the plunder. We'll cover those 2 points in a moment. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. If you have questions, comments, you can text or email them, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a moment. Play out. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Honored to have you listening today. Our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, join us from Focus on the Family, having a great conversation about healthy conflict and been digging into a story from 2 Chronicles Did I get that right? Yeah, Second Chronicles, verse 20. So let's talk now about the third and fourth point that you've got here about while God fights for you and helps you and intercedes and stands with you on the spiritual level, you engage in a healthy conflict. Take it from there, Greg.
Yeah, we love, there's a quote that says that conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. Conflict, it is good for your marriage. Combat, it doesn't. Combat are things like when, if I'm constantly withdrawing or shutting down or giving Erin the silent treatment or criticizing her or raging or belittling her. I mean, those are more quote unquote combat ways of dealing with conflict, and that's not healthy ever. We tell people we know that our book is called Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. We never want to fight with our spouse. We want to practice healthy conflict, and healthy conflict happens when, first of all, that our heart is open. And so I know when my heart is open that I'm ready to really hear Erin rather than me trying to be understood. I'm open when I really care to go, okay, help me understand what was going on for you, versus when I'm shut down, I'm defending myself. I want her to understand, but you just misunderstood something or you're misperceiving something. And that's all closed-hearted behavior. That's combat. And therefore, really learning, okay, what's the difference between when my heart is open and closed? That Susie, probably of all the skills, is the most important one. Can I learn when I'm shut down versus when I'm open? And therefore, when I'm open, now I'm ready to really be a great listener. Now I'm ready. I'll care about how Erin is feeling versus telling her that, well, that makes no sense. And because we see all this stuff so differently. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's really the key skill that no one teaches us. Whoever has taught us, okay, here's how you know when your heart is open. Here's what you need to do to get your heart open.
Erin, how did it play out on that Sunday? As far as I just love an example of that. So for those who maybe hopped on late, you know, Greg, the kids are fighting in the back seat. There was a little bit of conflict and you felt shut down when you got to church. Erin, you're rubbing his back just kind of to see where he's at. How did that evolve where he opened back up again?
Well, I could tell throughout church, like he was getting a little bit open, but he still wasn't like ready to engage. And even after church, he was still pretty shut down. And so I had stuff to do. So I let him know, like, hey, I'm running to Denver. I'll be up there. Da, 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 da. But later on that afternoon, I get this text of like, hey, when are you going to be home? And what are we having for dinner? And do you want to watch a movie? And I was like, well, I guess his heart's open now.
That's how you knew.
But this is what I said earlier. I could have shut my heart down and gone, how dare him? You know, da, 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 you know, I can't believe that he was silent and did it and punished him. But instead, I was like, you know what? He's shut down for a reason. I can't wait to hear what happened, what went on for him. And I went on my day. When Greg has a bad day, I don't have to have a bad day. But
that's good.
I can certainly come back and care when he's ready. And I got home and I said, well, you know, how you doing? And he was like, well, I'm good. And I'm like, okay, can you tell me about it? But that's coming from an open heart. It's once we care for our heart and minister to our heart, the thing that I go towards when he's shut down and I'm open, I just continue to tell myself, there's a lot of self-soothing that goes on of, you know what, I am 100% confident we're going to work this out. It's going to be okay. This is just a piece of our journey. And I'm okay. I can sit in that discomfort of being disconnected momentarily just because I have that much faith to know that he's going to tell me what went on. And if I did something that caused him to feel unsafe, well, then gosh, I'll own that. If it's something that I get in touch with, well, dang, you know, we're going to work this out. It's going to be okay.
Erin, I mean, you're giving an example of a life of response versus a life of reaction. And part of that comes from a history of walking with God and a history of working through conflict with your spouse, but then also just some spiritual maturity to say, I am not reacting. But I feel like couples even can get into their 50s and 60s and still duke it out in the momentary reaction because, again, they're not seeing the bigger story. But yes. I mean, look, think of all the trouble that you avoided because you wouldn't engage on that level and you just said, I love him. He loves me. yep. we'll get through this. And yeah. it's just like all the plans and traps and buttons the enemy had set out for you mm-hmm. were avoided because of that. That's amazing yeah,
and,
to me.
And I would say, well, I've been strengthened in this because we've had so much opportunity to build that history with the amount of conflict we've had.
That's my parents' fault.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, that, let's blame
that
them.
That sins of the father
yeah,
visited
let's just blame them.
Upon the generations.
Your dad's up in heaven laughing right now, by the way.
Yeah.
And it, he's
it
like,
really
you're on
is.
Your own, son.
Yeah. It really is looking back and going, you know, we've been through way worse. And I know yeah. Greg, and I know that he's going to come back and we're going to work this out. I am telling you, Susie, there is not many times that I don't think about that because again, that desire to be connected is so much greater than anything else. And I'm just confident that we will be connected again.
Well, in Susie, what I love about the story from Second Chronicles 20 that we're talking about, what I love is how God intervened, fought this battle, and then told everybody to go out and to collect the plunder. And so it took the tribe of Judah like 3 days to gather up all the valuables that were left behind because of this victory. And what I love about that is that's true as well for any conflict that we walk through, that God has made. He's the one that says the promise that when you go through trials, that there's an opportunity. He says that he will turn ashes into beauty. He says that as we go through these hard times, that we will get something. There's plunder there. There's something valuable. We think it's one of the healthiest things how to end a conflict discussion is just to quickly talk about it. And maybe this needs to happen a couple days later to give some perspective. But the best thing to do is to revisit, to go, okay, now what have we learned? Maybe like that day, I finally realized that there was some deeper stressors and stresses that I was facing that was causing me to show up in my marriage in a different way. And so when Aaron said, yeah, what was going on for you? What happened at church or on the way? And there were some things that I learned about myself. It might be that I learned something new about Aaron or I learned something about our marriage. But the truth is that there's always plunder there. And a lot of couples never take the time to revisit and to go, okay, God, what have you given us now? And if my dad used to use this expression called treasure hunting, and that's really what it is. That when we face these hard times, God will give us something. It's our job to find it. Just like God said, you guys have to go out and gather up the plunder. He wasn't just going to magically set it in their campsite. They had to go out, find it, grab it, lay hold of it, and make it a part of their life. That's what we can do when we go through conflict. There's always value there for us to lay hold of.
Man, if we could stay in the big picture. You know, I had our kids all over this weekend. We all sat around in the screen and porch, and I was telling them, every time you turn towards your spouse, every time you prioritize marriage, you're putting another brick on this beautiful building that you're building
yeah.
that others are going to find shelter in. You're going to add stability to your community. You cannot know how important a strong marriage is. And I want to wrap with this amazing quote. I actually posted it on my personal page on Facebook from your book, Fight Your Way. Listen to this, you guys, from the Smalleys. The world is waiting. Your spouse is waiting. Your kids are waiting for your healed, open heart. Remember, the story of your life is the story of the long and the brutal assault on your heart by the one who knows what you and your marriage could be, and he fears it. That is powerful. Smalleys, thank you for the time today. I love you more than I can say. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Susie. Love you, too.
Yeah, come back again. Thanks for you, dear listener, listening. Hope you found some encouragement here, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.